Fondation Radio. Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism. Fondation Radio.
Hello there, listeners of Foundation Radio. How can I dare say I am happy to welcome you to yet another edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio, as this edition is coming at the break of a historical and phenomenal protest demonstration throughout the northwest and southwest English-speaking regions of Blessed Cameroon that unfortunately cost the lives of some of our compatriots. May their soul rest in peace. Mortars, as we are, News Extra is there to, as always, continue to point out those ills while proposing what we think could make Cameroon a better place for all. I am Okon, Johnny Nelson, anchoring. Where do we go from here? This is an Anglophone problem. There is an Anglophone problem. No, there is no Anglophone problem. There is need for an Anglophone subsystem of education. No, there can be no two education systems in one country. And then, well, we can look at that. There is need to relook our bi-jural legal system. No, we need only one harmonized judiciary. In any case, let's look into some of the complaints of the common law lawyers. There is need to look into the form of Cameroon's state structure after over 50 years of independence and reunification. No, Cameroon is one and indivisible. In any case, let's see how we can go an extra mile and see. It is time for true dialogue. No, how can we dialogue with separatists and terrorists? And this is where we find ourselves today. This is where Cameroon finds itself today. Where do we go from here? Perhaps this recommendation from ace writer Douglas Achingele may do the trick. From the events in Cameroon these days, President Paul Biya, in his insomnia, is all alone. All alone. He can't really trust any of these rapacious liars around him anymore. It is high time the president gave profound thought to the current imbroglio and made landmark decisions that will satisfy the two peoples that make up our present republic. It also behoves President Biya to give no second thought to discarding all those veneered hoodlums, Anglophones and Francophones alike, who have misled him on the situation of Anglophones in Cameroon. Otherwise, the arrow that has just left the bow may end up piercing even the president himself. God bless our nation. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. Yes, gentlemen, Duga Charles, Fonso, Michael, and Daddy Chris, this is another program of News Extra on Foundation Radio. And as usual, as I said in the introduction, I don't think we are in the best of our mood given the events that took place in our country, especially in the northwest and southwest regions of the country yesterday, and not forgetting another explosion that occurred near the SA depot in Douala that would have been, a catastrophe. And so we are not in the best of our mood, but we have to keep on. Fonso Michael, what happened in Cameroon yesterday, precisely in the northwest and southwest regions, was phenomenal. It was historical.
Yes, it was. Actually, what's very, very typical is what you can say, people's power against administrative power. People's power against administrative power. And this is what we have been tussling for the past couple of months. And truly, as you put it, where do we go from here? We are actually in a dilemma, and there is need to break this dilemma. In the case of Cameroon, what we think is there is need to define government in Cameroon. If you go by the old definition of government, which is defined as in the Greek translation, government of the people, for the people, and by the people, then there is a true need to define government. What I want to say is that Anglophone Cameroon is still governable. It's not yet an ungovernable territory. It's still governable. But what do we need to do to ensure that there is a good system that governs without things falling apart? Where do we go from here should bring us quickly to the table to reflect and determine the necessary things that have to be done to avoid chaos. To avoid chaos. Because when people's power is not balanced with administrative power, then it's likely we're going to find chaos. A lot has been said over and over about the need to build trust, about confidence-building measures that are required to restore things back to normalcy. I bring the word normalcy that we used last week. We've witnessed a Monday which is interrupted, a Tuesday which is interrupted, a Wednesday that's interrupted, a Thursday that was interrupted largely around the hospital roundabout and all the other areas that connect to the hospital roundabout. The effects fell across the food market, across Ntarinkun, across all those coming from...
Certainly all over the region.
Yes.
Because the psychological torture was there and the psychological imbalance was there.
When you talk all over the region, I was just talking about punctual action in terms of the harmony of the town and people going around business. But when you go to the psychological aspect, it's not only around the region, but it's across the world, because the Minister of Communication came out to declare terrorist activities. So, need for confidence-building measure require dialogue, put a halt in the present state of affairs, and start reversing towards a path which is constructive.
That decrease, in as much as the administration may claim or assume they are playing that role, what happened yesterday, we have read history, we have seen it happen in other countries, we have seen it in African countries. We are talking now about what Fonso says there, that the people, the administration, must align with the people.
You know, yesterday took me by surprise. Because in an earlier communique from the administration, people were barred from moving across divisions. People were also barred from assembling for whatsoever
reason.
But strong as the commandment has been all along, people simply jettisoned those instructions aside. And I was surprised that the way in which administrative authorities reacted to the defiance was so different from what had happened before, when people were gunned down, when girls in schools were raped, when havoc was wreaked on whatever person was around, supposedly misbehaving, even though the purpose was to show that there are problems that need to be solved and that people should pay attention to those problems. This time around, the troops were there, the tear gas machines were there and everything, but nobody used any of them. This gave me the impression that they had learned some lessons from their recent past mistakes, but it still does not make it possible to know right now where we are going. And so where are we, as you asked, the question that you asked is a very appropriate question. Where are we and where are we headed?
Yes, Duga Charles, Daddy Chris rightly points out there, for once, given the hugeness of what took place across the Northwest region and the Southwest region, because we are talking about a mass of people. And when we look at the casualties, usually there may be some casualties, but comparatively, as Daddy Chris rightly pointed out, it seems they have learned their lesson that people may have a right to put through their idea. And if this message that the security passes today, that yes, they can be on the side of the people, that they can protect the people, had been that much or that such during the past events, we may not have been where we are today, because maybe the right message would have gone through, Duga Charles.
Well, if that lesson was well taken, as we saw yesterday on TV, how the police stood by, at least watching from a distance, the people peacefully marching with their peace plans, singing patriotic songs. I think that for once we can give them
credit,
some credit. But if they were doing it because it was the time of the United Nations General Assembly sitting where our head of state is representing.
I was supposed to address the nation, the UN at the time of the protest.
Yeah, or that there were firm instructions, as we are always told, instructions from hierarchy. Good instructions to play the part they played yesterday. And then I would think that if this had been the modus operandi, I think Cameroon would have long emerged than we are thinking to emerge now. But to come to, if I had to describe the events of yesterday, like some of you have already given your impressions, I would simply qualify the events of yesterday as momentous. Momentous in the magnitude, momentous in the manner in which the citizens, like my friend Afonso,
also
said,
behaved themselves?
Yes, comported themselves.
Disciplined.
The people power is uppermost. Where the political power cannot supersede people power.
Yeah, because the people power and political power own the nation, they own the state.
Yeah, there is a discordance.
Let's make a quick difference between political power and administrative power.
That's right.
Because when you talk about political power in a normal democratic system, political power comes from the people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, but that is in a truly democratic context.
In a setup.
Context.
That's why I want us to talk about administrative power and people's power.
Which is political. Okay, Duga Charles.
Okay, so thank you for for giving all that clarification. So what I was saying is that there is a discordance between the administrative power and the people and people power.
Just what Fonso was saying at the beginning.
Yes, in Cameroon, where I'm relaunching my argument.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that discordance actually manifested itself yesterday. In other words, we're talking of a disconnect between administrative authorities and the people power of the Anglophone regions.
Because it came, as the decree pointed out, following a series of decisions that were taken by the administration.
To preempt. A public manifestation.
That were, I don't want to say were largely defied. I don't want to say they were defied, but it didn't happen as they thought.
Yeah, it didn't happen as was anticipated.
By the administration.
But it happened all the same. And it sent a clear message that the administrative authorities are not yet prepared to actually solve this problem. Otherwise, the turnout could have reflected that.
Okay, we hope that a solution may come after yesterday's demonstration. Just to remind the listeners that the program is News Extra, and they can be part of the program by texting us their own opinion on what we are discussing, especially on the events that we're talking about. And the numbers are 672-53-3990, 672-53-3990, or 695-56-8480. Fonso Michael, to change from what Dugachar said, can we hope that from yesterday's events, political power and administrative power may have learned their lesson?
They should. Yesterday, there was a clear expression on the ground in terms of the number of people who came out. You know, when we talk about the framework of freedom, it gives the opportunity for people to express. And freedom goes with people's opinion, but opinion is not opinion except it is expressed. If you don't know what I'm thinking, because I've not expressed it, you cannot respond to me. And we have found many times a restriction of people's freedom.
Expressing their freedom.
A restriction on people's freedom in terms of assembly, in terms of expression. A simple manifestation or demonstration in terms of numbers is telling that this number of people are not satisfied with this. And if we're moving towards building a democracy, you have what you call the counter. As we're following up in the United States and New York, we had people who were coming out to support the government, and another side was coming out to say, no, the government is not doing well.
Which is okay in a democratic society.
Yes, we have seen a lot of this. We have seen it in Turkey. We have seen it in Egypt.
Rather than suppressing the other and allow the other to express themselves.
And the risk of suppressing expression in terms of public manifestation is turning that energy into violence. That is the risk. So when people cannot express themselves freely and openly, they express themselves in ways which are not conventional. Another risk is when you suspect people from their expression and you don't want them to express themselves, you provoke situation to see, okay, let me simulate, let them come out.
Okay.
Then I see what they're going to do. So sometimes you are questioning whether some actions which are happening in terms of burning of schools and explosions
it may also be an aspect of doubting your own authority.
Yes, doubting your own authority. The simple thing which I've also talked about in terms of expression is this downward expression, which is manifested in terms of instructions. Don't do this climbing down.
What can we do?
That's what I'm getting to.
Yes,
the energy that we're using in instructing and forcing a top-down approach, if we galvanize all of this energy upwards towards building consultation and a bottom-top approach, we should be able, or we would have been able, to tell the highest holder of political and administrative power in this country that the things on the ground are different
from what you think, or
the solutions you have prescribed.
From what he's been made to believe. Okay, Dugachar, have an input there.
Yes, I thought that it was necessary for us to remind ourselves and inform the public of what this year's United Nations General Assembly's theme is. It's very, very important. And I like to quote this, the theme of
this year's
UNGA 2017. Quote, focusing on people striving for peace and a decent life for all on a sustainable planet. Let me repeat it. Focusing on people striving for peace and a decent life for all on a sustainable planet.
And just to add, the 21st of September
was International Peace Day.
International Peace Day.
We shall be coming to that.
Yes. So I was saying that I don't know whether Cameroonians, by instinct or by what other means, maybe we're aware of the General Assembly, that they had to comport themselves to allow peaceful demonstration in keeping with democratic values.
That too is also good.
Yes, I think that we should press ourselves as Cameroonians.
And exactly, you had what was in my mind, which I was going to put to Daddy Chris. Daddy Chris, when you look at the evolution of this crisis since close to a year now, when you look at the comportment of both the administration and the people, as Dugard Charles pointed out, there is an evolution that we can bank on and make our nation and make our people a better place.
You know, two editions ago, we talked about commandment. Yes. We also talked about overzealousness.
Yes.
Apparently, somebody is giving instructions for people to be less zealous and less fanatical in the way in which they deal with people with grievances. That, to me, is a sign of hope. And the hope that I have right now is that this movement towards some kind of commonsensical living and letting live will be improved upon as a result of our participation in the recent United Nations Forum. I shouldn't say recent, it is still going on.
It's still ongoing.
In which the theme that our colleague Charles Duga quoted was dealt with by President Boy Bia as a good textbook definition of what was expected under that theme.
Yes.
He wrote it like somebody who could write an essay on the matter and get an A+. The things that came out in his speech clearly defined a number of things that he has defined before on the environment and other aspects of terrorism. But this time, I think he added the statistics concerning places like Barcelona, Ouagadougou, Baghdad, Russia, Paris, Maiduguri, Kalafata, etc., giving statistics of how many people were killed in terrorist activities. So he said what the United Nations is supposed to be able to do about the flashpoints of conflict. He talked well about the gap of the poverty between the rich and the poor, the first world and the third world. He talked about the United Nations being a forum of advocacy for greater good for all of mankind. He talked about it being an advocacy forum for a world characterized by greater solidarity, a forum where people can guarantee a decent life for all of mankind, a forum in which climate justice can be preached and practiced. He talked about solidarity to roll back poverty. This was a fantastic way of defining what the mission of the United Nations was. The only question is, thinking globally and not acting locally can only make the United Nations a forum in which hypocrites come and preach, but at home they don't practice.
I was going to ask Daddy Chris, how you give the answer.
That's right.
Daddy Chris gave a succinct a summary of what the president said at United Nations. Listening from that, from somebody who may not be a Cameroonian, you can say, yes, that is a world leader. But locally, can that be? And we are hoping, because it seems, as Daddy Chris pointed out, things may be changing. There are instructions that are coming out a little bit subtle. Do you think the president's mind may change?
Yes,
may be changing?
He has said those things before in previous private United Nations fora.
Yes.
So what makes you think that there's conversion now?
Because the decree is we are hoping that given the circumstances you pointed about the theme of the United Nations.
Remember
last time when he left Italy and Rome, when he came back, there were some landmark decisions from Somite.
In life, the search for personality, it's associated with your look, your composure, your charisma, and how you carry yourself. And for some others, the search for personality can be associated with your works. In Cameroon, the personality has been a lot around the looks, the charisma, the composure of the president, and very little about the concrete works on the president on the ground. And what we say is, how do I want to be seen? How I want to be seen outside should and would best be reflected on what am I from the inside. How do you want the world to see Cameroon? How you want the world to see Cameroon should be more of what Cameroon is doing inside, in terms of advancing peace, in terms of advancing poverty, reducing poverty, promoting development, and being a reference point. This is really what the United Nations is striving for. Can nations share amongst themselves the good practices and what they are doing? Bringing also, he talked about local action for the global good.
Good.
We can theorize a lot, but if we don't put into practice, it's of no purpose. And we say in Cameroon, often there is a discord between good talk and good action.
Just as you said, we have good laws, but poor implementation.
Okay, again, that one is a rhetoric. It's a rhetoric. Because if you go like that, good laws and bad action, we say, here also say that the roads do not kill, but we are the ones who kill. So I want to avoid that rhetoric.
Yes.
But just before you get to that, they say, let us learn to walk the talk.
Yes.
Let us learn to walk the talk.
Okay, let us have some messages that have come in. Hi to all, to you all in the studio. You can suppress some people sometime to rule them, but you cannot suppress all the people all the time to rule them. From Jean Commando, please, where are you texting us from? We need to know your name and from where you are texting us from. I am Okunjo Nelson. I am here at Foundation Radio. Hi to you in the studio. A message to studio. Vision without action is a daydream. I would like to say applaud to the initiative of the peaceful march yesterday. It's a step towards better days, Kisito from Gomgam. We also have this one that came in, that the calmness of the security yesterday was hypocritical. This was because of the UN General Assembly. In any case, some people lost their lives. We need to know your name. If you don't send us your name and from where you're texting us from, your text will not be read. Now, Duga Charles,
yes.
You seem eager to say something. I don't know what.
Yes, still about the whole concept of the United Nations. In spite of the lofty goals that define the United Nations,
its missions.
I will largely credit much of the work of the United Nations through their specialized agencies for the humanitarian action that are taken around the globe, like Food and Agriculture Organization, like the World Health Organization, and so on and so forth. You can go on. But when it comes now to the political structure, the administrative machinery, I tend to look at it more in terms of a hypocritical club of politicians who come.
Remember, the United Nations is not a government.
It's a government. It's a world government. Why can't I say it's not?
Well, that's an assumption. That's not part of its mission.
Well,
that's what you wish it to be.
I think that is a popular.
They are moderators.
Yeah.
They are not executors.
Yeah.
Moderators of political action. Economic action, or
no.
Human action. Yes.
No, but what point are you trying to make?
Yes, what I'm saying is that, we had earlier remarked that a good speech does not necessarily make a good
leader.
A leader, as the case may be. Yes, so the point is that speeches should reflect the substance of what a particular political entity is doing at the grassroots. But when you go and give a flamboyant speech, and then they tend to look back at the grassroots.
That's why
it doesn't reflect.
That's what we're saying.
Then it becomes a contradiction.
We already said that.
Yeah.
That Chris, I'm the one anchoring. That's why we're saying that we're hoping that given the particular context in which we are, given the particular circumstances in which we are, we're hoping that such speeches will be reflected or will be translated sooner or later to the home front.
Always good to hope.
Yes.
Yes. The framework where Duga Charles is expressing himself as about what being hypocritical, I would not want to look at issues from that perspective. I want us to look, you have come very well. You have talked about the specialized organ. They are technical organs. If someone is sick, the person needs to be cured. If someone is hungry, the person needs food. Either the person cultivates his food or is provided with food. But when you look at the political aspect, that's about governments now.
Yes.
That's about policies. Trump puts it in a simple way, America first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. America first. But you see, you must cater for the needs of your people first.
Then secondly, it boils down to that increases principle of local to the global.
That's right. That's right. That's so why I'm going back to what he said about hypocritical.
Therefore, the United Nations is simply and provide the guidelines for those to implement locally so that the world globally will be a better place.
When you look at
and all the politicians in the world are not the same.
Yes. So that's what I was going to. When you talk about political management, you are looking at goodwill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there are some people who are not in the framework of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who are concerned about global governance. Some people are concerned about global equity. Mm. So you have these differences in terms of opinion. You have these differences in terms of ideologies, which is what we're grappling with. And when you have the United Nations come up, so how can we harmonize and reduce these imbalances? So that's the role of the United Nations. But to conclude on this point, think about what Honorable Weber is saying in Parliament. You cannot stop me from speaking because I'm speaking on behalf of my people. So if you are in the United Nations, you should speak on behalf of your people. That is politics. That's political will. Sometimes you may see it as hypocritical, but you can also look at what are you defending? Are you defending in the interest of your people? You can defend in the interest of your people and look at and be looking like a hypocrite. But you can defend also the interests of your people in a good cause and within the context of common good.
Just as Daddy Chris's friends, Uncle Bob Mugabe, would defend the interests of his people, even though it may be against the prescription of the United Nations.
Yes.
And even against the will of his people.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, now let us round up in hope in conclusion to this first part of our debate concerning the events of yesterday. I will start with Daddy Chris. Daddy Chris, following yesterday's events, we are still very early. We hope that things will evolve with time because Daddy Chris, people are already talking of a week's time. We're talking about another period because it started like a joke.
Yes. Yes.
The date of the 22nd, the date of October 1st is around. Mm-hmm. Where do we go from here?
I am not going to speculate about October 1st because I don't even know anything about what is in the works. But what gave me something to feel good about yesterday was that the vast majority of the people that marched included women. And above all, it was...
I think that Chris is pointing out a significant point there.
Yes. And most importantly, it was mostly people under 25. There were lots of people who were older.
Yes.
No doubt about that.
No doubt, yes.
But it was clear that the young people were taking the issues, the activities, the politics into their own hands. Whether they are in the parliament or not is totally besides the point. They want to leave their footprints on the marks of history, and it is only in this manner that the people can be reckoned with, because for now, the people have been dragged along by a handful of a few who had interests to concretize, and we're just using people, including the so-called crushing majority, just as a pretext for embellishing their personalities, greedily pillaging the state, using the resources in a manner that can only be described as reckless, while the rest of the majority are impoverished but only singing and dancing to the whims and caprices of a few pretenders.
Duga Charles, your last word in hope.
Hope is the essence of living. And I believe that we have to keep hoping for better days. 22nd yesterday, 1st of October, probably barely a week or so, we hope that when the big man returns home, now things could change. You could turn the tables. That is my hope.
Fonso, Michael.
Before I go to what I will say, I make a quick comment of that decrease observation. Actually, in the march, over long distances, there were the significant, it's obvious, number of young persons who were there. But if you had looked at different segments of what happened, you will see that the thing cut across generations. You will not fail to see that there were people there of over 80 years, some of them, who came out. This is telling. Mm. We should not limit this action as only the action of the young people. So we want to invite, if there's anyone who wants to analyze these issues really deep, look far deeper, you will see that it's a communication across generations. Across generations. So let's avoid referring to this action that happened yesterday as the children, those children. When we discuss somewhere, we say, but stop and think for a while. Were they just children?
No.
It's easy to dismiss a group of people who are expressing themselves as just children. Open your eyes, open your ears, and get to the substance. Yesterday's demonstration is a big warning to those who are protecting their privileges to say, please, consider also the downtrodden. We should stop disregarding the people who are downtrodden as those that we can simply give instructions to them and fit them in boxes. At one moment, those boxes will not contain them.
We hope that Friday, the events of Friday, October 22nd, 2017, was a big lesson to all Cameroonians. Now, Daddy Chris, Duga Charles, Fonso, Michael, the program is News Extra on Foundation Radio, and I am Mokun Johnny Nelson anchoring. We just had that last text message from Silence. He was texting from Bambili, and so you keep on sending your text messages on 672-533-3990 or 695-568-480. Now, in the midst of situations like what Cameroon in general and the Anglophone regions are going through, even the most heavy-hearted turns to the Almighty God or Allah for solace. After all, he says, come to me, ye heavy-laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, at this time we need prayers, prayers and prayers. And one of those who has not ceased prescribing peace, dialogue and praying for this nation is Barrister Tumfo Nico Hale. I think his prayer is for all of us. But before we read his prayer in its entirety, we think the Lord's prayer remains paramount. Thank you.
Perceived you, Daddy Chris and Nelson, they were suddenly in the spiritual than in the physical.
We cannot do otherwise than turn to that.
With a solemn piece of gospel music. Indeed.
The Lord's Prayer is paramount, as Nelson said.
Really paramount.
There's no other way.
Yeah.
And just to remind Daddy Chris, Dugacha, Sofonso, Mike, that the following prayer by Barrister Tumfo Nico Haley was released on the International Peace Day, celebrated every September 21st. And so we thought that given the circumstances, the prayer may just be good for all of us. And so you permit, I will take the prayer in its entirety. Father of glory, we come before you with heartfelt petitions as those who, though unworthy, have been justified and ransomed by your grace. Father of peace, we thank you for our relationship with you, which gives us confident assurance that you hear us always when we come to you in prayer and contrite hearts. Father God, we praise you and declare that your name is hallowed in all the earth, and we bless and exalt your name, for you are omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, the Alpha and the Omega. Gracious Father, you who are the lover of all mankind know best how Cameroon, Africa, and the world at large have been bedeviled by a series of unrest, conflicts, wars, chaos, anarchy, misery, persecution, poverty, unemployment, favoritism, in short, moral decadence in all its forms. God of peace and mercy, we confess that you are the only guarantor of our tranquility, joy, and existence. God of all consolation, you know best the difficulties that Cameroon is going through, especially turmoil in the northwest and southwest regions, which has paralyzed educational activities, business and family activities, insecurity in the far north region as a result of the Boko Haram phenomenon, which has taken away so many of your children, and rampant road accidents, which are seemingly claiming lives on a daily basis. Father of light, we profess that you are not the author of evil and confusion, but of peace and goodness. Father, we thank you because you delight in showing mercy and grace that triumph over all calamity. We thank you, Father God, that in your mercy, you do not impute the sins of the world against the world, both those we have committed and are still committing. We pray that you will raise and commission ministers of integrity who will reach every part of Cameroon, Africa, and the world with knowledge of who you truly are and what your grace has always accomplished for us. Father of mercy, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the scriptures assures us that if we, your children, who are called by your name, humble ourselves and pray, seeking your face and turn away from our wicked ways and sins, then you will hear us from heaven, pardon our sins and heal your people. Father of love, in view of the infinite riches of your mercy, we kneel before you, owning up and expressing godly sorrow for the wicked deeds which we have done. Exalted Father, we come before you with supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all the peoples of the world. Father, we pray for those who exercise all forms of authority on your people, that you will give them heavenly wisdom to administer your people in the fear of you. For King Solomon informs us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This week marks the 72nd UN General Assembly, which has been attended by most world leaders. We pray you to touch their hands and engineer discussions, resolutions which shall promote peace and global security. Blessed Father, it is on bended knees that we call on you to come on board and deliver your children from this unrest in Cameroon and the world over. Father, we trust that through your grace we are already forgiven and blessed, and that all the peoples of Cameroon, Africa, and the world from all religious and ethnic backgrounds would experience your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And the prayer just read is a prayer for God's intervention for peace in Cameroon by Barrister Tumfo Nico Halley. Daddy Chris, at this time, we can only turn to God on our knees for in prayers.
Yes, you made an editorial to this program. We could call it a prologue, we can call it everything, and you raised a question. Thank God the answer was coming, and there can be no better answer to the question as to where are we and where are we going? What is next? Because if we put it in the hands of God, he will be our best guide and he will know to which greener pastures to take us.
Duga Charles, if you are not hoping, you are not living. And I think I brought this prayer because the prayer came, was published on the 21st of September. The events of yesterday, we can only go down on bended knees to God.
Yes, indeed. Very relevant. And I want to summarize that prayer, I would say it's a pregnant prayer for a pregnant mother to safely bring forth. The elements of the prayer shows the nature of the pregnancy, and that is going to be a complicated labor. But the prayer is for God of creation to be able to moderate and make sure and ensure
that there is a safe
delivery.
Duga, you are a writer, you are a poet, you speak in tongue. Fonso Michael.
The songwriter of old writes, I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at his right hand sits one who is my savior. What God has willed and what God has planned for Cameroon, we do not understand.
No, we do not understand and we do not know.
That's true.
We should seek God's face. The American human rights fighter Martin Luther King writes, I have a dream. And the black people in their struggle sing, we shall overcome one day. But from Chronicle, as in the prayer, the Barisan Tumfo Hane also picks out this point. If we humble ourselves, God will lift us higher. As a nation, as a people, let us humble ourselves for God to lift us higher.
Really, we really have to humble ourselves for God to lift us higher, as mortal as we are. You really put it, we cannot know what goal God holds for Cameroon. And though it is with heavy hearts, really heavy hearts, that we want to end this program today, about 30 minutes as earlier than we usually do, but it's really with heavy hearts, given the circumstances we are going through. We are just learning that about 6 persons lost their lives following Friday's demonstrations. It is unfortunate for the families. We want to tell the families to take heart, for those who were affected in one way to take heart, in the hope that we take the same rendezvous, same time next week, because God does not forsake his people. But remember, history is a vast early warning system. I am yours, Mokun Johnny Nelson, with all my blessed regards.